Bell Global Justice Institute's Empower podcast aims to amplify the voices of gender equality advocates everywhere. Greetings, listeners, and welcome back to the Empower podcast hosted by Bell Global Justice Institute. My name is London, and I am looking forward to an amazing conversation with Angelica Bidlack, a young activist and student based in Boston. Angelica is the founder of Themis Magazine, a vibrant online publication tailored by and for the youth. Angelica and I will be talking about her advocacy for social and environmental justice, and she will be sharing about the impact of fast fashion on the environment, social justice, and human rights. Angelica and I will also be talking about the importance of including the voices of young people at all levels of advocacy. So grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea and relax and listen in to the journey of a dynamic advocate. Let's get into it. Well, 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 thank you all. Welcome back to the podcast. And I'm so excited to welcome Angelica. Hi, Angelica.
Hello, Ms. Bell. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. I'm excited for our discussion. Could you please share with our listeners about yourself and where are you from and how were you inspired to be a social and environmental justice activist?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm located in Boston. I was born and raised here. And I started my activism in eighth grade for a traditional event my school hosts where each eighth grader, in order to pass their English class, they have to do this presentation, a 20-minute presentation about any current topic where change can be happening. A lot going on with, you know, plastic or climate change, anything along the lines where there's current issue that needs to be changed. So I did fast fashion. That was my topic. And fast fashion is basically a trend in fashion where producers try to make their clothing the cheapest, most producing, sorry, okay, let me rephrase this. fast fashion is basically where you have to, where brands try to make clothes in the fastest and cheapest way possible. They try to make as many clothes as possible. And how they do this is that they do not put a lot of money into the production, and they don't sell clothes for very expensive either. So that means they don't pay their workers minimum wages. They make it in a very cheap way, which is really bad for the environment as well. And there's just a lot of problems behind the production of our clothing. And when I found this out, I was extremely shocked because fast fashion is everywhere, right? It's in Zara, it's H&M, basically any mall you go to, almost every store there is a fast fashion brand. And fast fashion goes against almost all of the values society holds today. And when I was in eighth grade back in 2020, this was not something people talked about. I mean, now I feel like you hear the term fast fashion, not many people know what it is, but you hear the term, but back then, nothing. So when I talked about this, I knew there had to be more talk about this. So I did more presentations at my school, I hung up flyers, and I started doing clothing swaps at my school so people didn't have to buy new clothes and they didn't have to throw their clothes away, they could just swap them out for new ones. So I started getting this reputation of like the sustainable fashion girl. Whenever there was a presentation, we could decide what we wanted to do. Everyone looked at me and was like, are you going to do sustainable fashion? It's like, okay. So yeah, that's who I was at my school community. And I wanted to expand beyond my school community and teach what fast fashion is to other people as well. And I got connected with Patrick Duffy, the founder of Global Fashion Exchange. We made the Global Fashion Exchange Youth Program. And from there, everything boosted. I met so many other young people interested in changing the fashion industry. And even in topics not related to fashion, I met just generally, I got connected in a lot of different organizations like United Nations Association USA. So yeah, I met a lot of young people who were inspired, who were passionate, and that's when I also made Themis Magazine. So yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. I love your story. I I was not familiar. I am not familiar with the term fast fashion. I know that there are industries that make clothing that, don't pay their workers, and there's all kinds of problems that come, from the like the mass production, but I didn't know that there was a term for it. So I've learned something. I really appreciate that. And I know our listeners, are learning something. So yeah, your activism is really wonderful. And I just want to encourage you to keep moving forward with it. It's wonderful. And so you've been able to meet, other young people and connect with other young people. And so and you talked about it just a moment ago, but how were you inspired to create Themis Magazine? And please share more about the concept of Themis Magazine and when you launched it.
Yeah, so I launched Themis Magazine last summer. I took it to be my summer project because I wasn't traveling really. And Themis Magazine was inspired by actually UNA USA, if I'm completely honest. I mean, I've met a lot of young people in the past, but I feel like it was more fast fashion focused because that's just the topic I delved myself into. But in UNA USA, it was such a big organization with so many young people. I was really blown away by it. And I thought that there needs to be more organizations and more platforms where young people can express their opinions and their concerns, ideas, etc. And there's just not enough of that. I mean, when we look at the newspapers, they're all written by adults. When we look for anything, any sources, all written by adults, and there's not really much space where young people can do that, although we also have opinions just as valuable as adults. Not saying that adult opinions aren't valuable or anything, it's just young people, I feel, also deserve that space to do that. So that's where Themis Magazine came along. And Themis Magazine is a magazine where young people can submit opinion pieces and articles really about any topic they're interested in the political, social, and environmental frame. So yeah, that's what Themis Magazine is. And we've partnered with youth activists and other organizations such as the Bulk Global Justice Institute. And yeah, it's coming along.
Yes, it sure is. I've had a chance to, visit your website many times, and yeah, I love your magazine, and I think it's great that you've created this space for young voices. And definitely, UNA USA is one of those organizations that has inspired me as well in my work. And yeah. Absolutely. They are very welcoming to young people and young professionals. And I think that was a great space to start with talking with other young people. I agree. I think that we need more spaces for young people. I often think about how often do we as adults sit and have conversations and ask young people, what you all think about what's going on in the world. I don't think it happens enough, and I'm glad that that you have this space and that we're having this conversation. And so,
Yeah, definitely.
So what are some of your long-term career and activism goals? And then you talked about connecting with young people with UNA USA. And what ways are you able to connect with other like-minded change makers virtually and in your own community?
So definitely through organizations like UNA USA. Before UNA USA, I was with Fashion Revolution. I still am the Fashion Revolution. And I think these platforms and organizations that are meant for connecting other people are really where I have made my most connections. Also, if you try partnering with a person specifically, for me, that was Patrick Duffy and the Global Fashion Exchange. From there, you meet a lot of other new people. So as you advance in a specific pathway, for me, that's fast fashion, as mentioned, you'll meet a lot of other people who are interested in that field. And once you meet one person, that expands to a next and a next and a next. So I find just know what you want to do, know what you're interested in, know where you want to be, and then try to find areas where other people are also interested in finding people who are in that realm. And from there, yeah, from there you'll find someone. I mean, just I'm right in the group chats. I mean, it's for thousands of people. You just say, hey, I'm from Boston. Anyone in the area who would like to connect? Someone will reach out. And when you find one person, that's enough, because from there, you'll find another one who they're networked with. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. And getting out there and getting to know people, it takes time, and it takes a lot of courage. And so I think that's great that you're doing that, and hopefully you will inspire other people, other young people to get out there and do that as well. And I know we just talked about this a moment ago, but how important are the voices of young people in the social justice and environmental justice movements?
I would say just as important as adult voices are. I mean, we also have experiences, and even if we don't have degrees or a full-time job or anything, that doesn't mean we don't have opinions that we'd like to express. I think young people, they do want to have their voices be heard, and they do want a space where that can happen. It's just not many people reach out to them and check in on that. So I think that definitely needs to be leveraged. And when people have a space to do that, that's when it really starts. We at UNA USA or Themis magazine.
That's an important point, and we need to reach out to young people more. And you all, you know, your generation is impacted by all of the things that are going on, just like my generation is impacted. So absolutely. And I like that the UN has, you know, the Eagle Sock Youth Forum, and then there are, you know, other spaces where young people can be more involved. But absolutely, your voices are just as important as everyone else's. And you all will be taking the lead, you know, on our future. You all will be making those decisions, you know, in different ways. And so, as a young person yourself, have you experienced any barriers in your activism work? And in what ways can seasoned activists help to amplify your voice and the voices of young people in general?
I think a lot of times people don't really believe young people, if that makes sense. We don't really have the authority that adults have had the time to develop. So when we reach out, there's either two reactions. One, you're ignored, or two, they're overjoyed that a young person finally has reached out to them, which means there isn't enough of that young voice there. So that's why they're so excited. But for me, yeah, I think the biggest part was that often I'm ignored, but if you find that right platform where you are heard, that is when you're not ignored anymore and you realize that it's really important what you have to say. I think everyone has something to say, and everyone's opinion is important. Even if you don't agree with it, it's still an opinion that would shape society, you know? So that's why that's the biggest hindrance I've experienced.
Yeah, you know, and just from hearing you talk, your foundation seems to be inclusive. Like, you're thinking about the voices of many as opposed to, I really appreciate that. So for me, I like to connect with young people and young professionals and mentor people. What do you think could be helpful for seasoned activists to help mentor young people like yourself? Like, what would be helpful?
I think reaching out to young people directly, letting them know, like not individual young people, but maybe like schools or places that they know young people are at. Reaching out to them and telling them that they really want to hear young people's opinions, and maybe even, like, if they have the availability to do this, sit down and talk to them. I think personal connections are really important. And I also think it's important that you very directly say to young people that you want to hear them, because we haven't had that many experiences to let ourselves be heard yet. So we might not have that confidence as someone who has had those experiences yet. So I think, yeah, telling them directly that you want them to reach out to you, or that you want to hear what they have to say, maybe even have a challenge for them, say, hey, if I can get all these ideas by, I don't know, 2 weeks, I'll consider all the ones I've received, or something like that, where they really feel like you're speaking to them.
Good. I really appreciate that. And I'm sure fellow activists, seasoned activists will appreciate your good advice, because sometimes, you know, we don't know. We don't always know how to connect. And so I appreciate your advice on that. And so these are some of my favorite questions that I like to ask people. And I'm curious, if you could have lunch at your favorite restaurant with any activist or influential person from any era in history, who would that person be and what would you talk about?
Marilyn Monroe and Sofia Kiani. Those are So Marilyn Monroe was like, she was my, okay, this is going to sound really cheesy. She was like my idol in like late middle school, if that makes sense, because she was really, really nervous of performing. Like, I read a book on her, like a biography on her, and after that I saw her with a totally different view. I thought she was like this glamorous, confident young woman, but no, she was really nervous of getting on a stage. She needed like a mentor sitting next to her, giving her support all the time. And that someone so great as Marilyn Monroe needed that support and that confidence boost really inspired me, because I go to a small school. So if I would do a clothing swap, everyone would ask me about it. So I kind of needed that little confidence boost that it's okay to be insecure sometimes, and that it's okay to need a little break maybe. So that's why Marilyn Monroe really inspired me, that it's okay, just whatever, it's okay. You can grow from it. So yeah, that's my Marilyn Monroe. And Sofia Kiani is more of the recent person I aspire to be like. She just achieves everything that I wish I could achieve. She basically is the ideal version that I aspire to be like. She works really closely, since she's only a few years older than me. And it's just, wow, what she's achieved is great. And I'm so proud of her, and I hope more people can be like her. So yeah.
Yeah, I missed one part. You said Sophia works closely with, is that the
secretary? Oh, I just said like the UN and adults and influential people and organizations.
Yeah. So what would you talk about with both of these phenomenal women in general?
That's a difficult question. I think I'd talk about how they started, and if they had a specific plan, and if how or if that plan changed throughout their careers. I think that'd be interesting to know if they already had. I mean, I know Marilyn Monroe because I read a whole biography on her, but she had a vision in her head of what she wanted to achieve. And although it didn't really go how she thought it would, unfortunately, she still found a way to like break past that and still achieve what she wanted to. But I think still hearing it personally from her would be super cool. Sofia Kiani, I don't know. So that'd be interesting.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know what? I'm so glad you mentioned Marilyn Monroe, because I think she was before her time. I just think she was just beautiful, talented. I think people didn't give her her due. And I'm glad that you were inspired by her. I am also inspired by her. I just think that she just seemed real. You know, and she wasn't afraid to just be herself. And sometimes that was not always confident and not always You know, I appreciated that about her. I saw a documentary about her recently, so that's awesome. And then, of course, Sophia is, amazing. And definitely someone to aspire to be like. So yeah, those are great, great people. And then if you had the ear of the UN Secretary General for just a few minutes, like let's say you all are in the elevator or something, and what would be a global issue you'd like to discuss with him for those few minutes and why?
I might be a little biased because it's what I've been working on for the past like 5 years, but fast fashion. It's a global issue. I mean, it's happening all around the world. It's influencing millions of people in poverty, and no one even flinches if someone goes into a fast fashion store just because it's everywhere. It's unavoidable. It's all around us. It goes against almost all the sustainable development goals. And I think people are voicing it now, but there's not enough action from those in power who could make the change in that field. I mean, I feel like it's also because when people hear fashion, they just think of like runway shows and glamour and not really something seriously as a political topic. But to me, fast fashion is just something that needs to be looked at in politics on a climate environmentalist level, but also on a social justice level. I mean, it's a gender issue, it's poverty issue, environmentalist issue. It's everything in one, and it needs to be examined.
Absolutely. I'm so glad we're talking about this. I'm learning a lot from you. And I really do hope that our listeners begin their, research on fast fashion and how we can all contribute to making changing that culture and dynamic. And I know for sure that the UN Secretary General would definitely be interested in hearing from you. About that. I know
Thank you.
he had his ear, he'd be listening to you. So I appreciate that. And so how can fellow youth activists connect with you to explore ideas for collaboration?
So Femus Magazine has an Instagram account where we also have our email attached to it. Our Instagram is themis_magazine. You can DM us there, reach out to our email. But you could also reach out to you and ask for my personal email if they'd rather have that. So, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. And we'll have information in our show notes, about you and Themis Magazine, so people will be able to look you up from there. And I've really enjoyed our conversation, Angelica. I hope that we can do this again because I feel like there's a lot more that I can learn from you and our listeners can learn from you. Really appreciate your leadership and social justice and environmental justice. So thank you for all you do, and thank you for spending time with me today. It's been wonderful.
Thank you for having me here, and I definitely love to continue this conversation. So, yeah, thank you for this opportunity.
Excellent, excellent. I'd like to take this moment to truly thank Angelica for a wonderful and inspiring conversation. And we'd like to also encourage you all to check out her online magazine, Themis Magazine. We're going to include information in the show notes about Themis Magazine, as well as Angelica's bio. And also learn more about fast fashion and the impact on the environment and human rights and social justice. So yeah, do that. And Angelica spoke about a couple of people that she really admires, one being Sophia Kiani and also Marilyn Monroe. And I also admire Sophia Kiani as well, climate activist. And I also admire Marilyn Monroe. And I have a quote from her that I'm going to read here that I think is just so fitting. Marilyn Monroe says, "We are all of us stars. and we deserve to twinkle. And I don't know, I love that quote. It just feels so fitting. I'm feeling it. So I want to thank you all once again for listening to our episode. And until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you.